More and more economists are telling us the gap between the haves and have-nots in America is getting wider as the rich keep getting richer. Michigan State University economics professor Charlie Ballard joins us. It's always good to have you with us, Charlie.
Thanks, Cindy. Glad to be with you.
We hear two terms used, income inequality and wealth inequality. Those shouldn't be used interchangeably, should they?
No, they're related, and the trends in them have been similar. But income is how much money you make in a year. Typically, most households get most of their income from their wages and salaries, but then there's also interest and dividends and Social Security and other things like that. That's income, and it has been income inequality has been rising since the 1970s, very substantially in the United States. Wealth is, at any moment in time, what's the value of the stuff that you own? Mm. And that's, for a lot of people, it's equity in their home. There's also stocks and bonds and privately owned businesses and things like that. Wealth has also been distributed more unequally since the 1970s, but wealth has always been way, way, way more unequal than income. The bottom half of households basically have no wealth at all. They're living from paycheck to paycheck, whereas the bottom half of households do have income, even though some of them don't have a whole lot of income.
Looking at inequality in wealth, we found a recent piece in The Economist declares that this wealth inequality in America is approaching levels that we haven't seen since before the crash of 1929.
Yes, and there's a new research paper by Emmanuel Saez and Gabriel Zucman, two prominent economists, and they use a variety of methods to try to measure wealth inequality, and they're suggesting that we're wealth inequality reduced in the middle of the 20th century quite a bit, and the middle class did better. But in the last 40 years, both for income and for wealth, most of the gains have been at the top. And so now we have a situation where the top one-tenth of 1% of households have about the same amount of wealth as the bottom 90%, and that is a phenomenally unequal distribution of wealth.
And that is because?
Well, there are a bunch of reasons. One of them has to do with public policy. We have dramatically reduced our taxes on those at the top. You've heard Warren Buffett's comment that his tax rate is lower than his secretary's, even though he's one of the richest people in the world. We have lower tax rates on dividends and interest and capital gains than we have on ordinary income from working at a job. And the estate tax, which is a tax on people's the wealth of the wealthiest individuals when they die. The estate tax has been reduced greatly in the last few decades. And so we've had a policy decision to tax those at the bottom more and those at the top less. And that has predictable effects. There are other things, certainly the stock market. When stocks go up, most of the benefit of that goes to a relatively small number of people.
And then income inequality. In your recent study on income inequality, looked at changes in the distribution of household income in Michigan from 1976 till 2008. What'd you find?
Well, we found that Michigan, like most places, has had an increase in income inequality. Most regions of the country has had higher income inequality. There, the story is not so much with stocks and bonds as it is with increasing labor income inequality. That is to say, the high income, the high wage earners have pulled away from the middle class wage earners. Middle class really hasn't pulled away from the bottom. Mm-hmm. But the top has done very well all across the country. And Michigan, compared to other states, is sort of middle of the pack in terms of income inequality. We're not the most unequal. We're not the least. But we have, like most regions of the country, we in Michigan have seen a very substantial increase in the gap between those at the top and those at the bottom since the 1970s. That's when it really turned around, middle to late 1970s. And by the early 1980s, these trends toward greater inequality were really in high gear.
And we're seeing that kind of correspond to Michigan's manufacturing history, aren't we?
That's a big part of it, because our manufacturing economy in the middle of the 20th century really did an amazing job of providing middle-class and even upper-middle-class standard of living for factory workers, something that is historically very unusual. But as you know, the manufacturing economy has had a really tough time in the last several decades, and that has one of the effects of that is that the middle class, especially in places like Michigan, have not done as well as those at the top.
So here's the situation. What you just stated, the middle class is not faring as well. And what needs to happen to boost that up and narrow that gap?
Well, I think there are a lot of things that could happen. The one that I put at the top of the list is to improve the education and skills of our workers, because having an education and having skill that you can bring to your employer, that's the number one ticket to a middle class or better standard of living. And Michigan, unfortunately, has lagged behind the national average in the fraction of our population who have a bachelor's degree or more, and also our K-12 system. When you compare our level of achievement for our K-12 students, it often ranks 30th or 35th among the 50 states. So one of the big changes of the last 40 years has been that those with only a high school diploma haven't done very well. If you're a high school dropout, it's been a terrible time. But if you have some college, and especially if you have at least a bachelor's degree, you've done better. And so that's why I think emphasis on education is really job number one if we want to strengthen the middle class in Michigan.
You and I have had this discussion a lot on Stateside.
Well, it was true the last time we talked, and it's still true now.
Where do you see America and Michigan going, Charlie, in terms of both income and wealth inequality? Just, is the gap going to keep widening?
Well, I wish that I could see signs of it stopping widening. But right now, there is not a whole lot of evidence to suggest that that's going to happen. In fact, much of the policy debate, there are lots of people who are in elected office or running for elected office who would apparently be comfortable with a wider gap between the haves and the have-nots, because there are a lot of folks who are pressing for dramatically lower taxes on those at the top. That's one of many policies. It is, I think, quite possible that we'll have further steps toward rewarding those at the top and maybe not rewarding those in the middle in terms of what our political system is going for. Financial deregulation, for instance, was fabulous for a relatively small number of folks in Wall Street and big banks, not so good for the rest of the country as it helped contribute to the financial crisis. But now there is a great deal of pressure to go back to a very unregulated financial system. So I see a lot of folks pushing very hard for increased inequality, basically saying, even after this historically unprecedented increase in income inequality, that's not enough. We need to go further. I respectfully disagree with that, but it's very controversial.
Well, it almost seems to smack of, 18th century Europe.
Well, you know, that's one of the reasons why I am concerned about inequality when it runs up. Because if you look at the revolutions that racked Europe in the 17th and 18th century and even in the 20th century, a lot of that was driven by discontent among those, the great mass of the population that saw that they weren't getting much out of out of the changes in the economy. You know, there is the danger of fraying at the social fabric. The longer we go with ordinary citizens feeling like they are sort of left out. You know, here's an amazing statistic. The American economy is well more than twice as big as it was in 1973. But the average man who works full-time earns less now, if you adjust for inflation, than in 1973. So that's a very, very long period. And if the average guy isn't doing any better, and if the economy is twice as big, that means that those at the top are doing quite well.
Michigan State University economist Charles Ballard, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.